Hey, good day, everybody. This is Dan Young with Total Wellness Radio. Thanks so much for tuning in to make us a part of your day. Today on Total Wellness Radio, episode 407, we actually capture last night's class from right here at the clinic in Cheyenne, Wyoming, where we show people how easy and empowering it is to put their health in order. Our basic nutrition class and our prevention plus class kind of all mixed up into one. And we had a meaningful discussion, shared several dozen resources, and had an amazing evening. So thank you so much, as always, for tuning in to Total Wellness Radio and making us a part of your day. Sit back and enjoy this episode as we take you through the basic nutrition class and show you how simple and effective it is to put your health in order. Simple, easy, relaxed discussion on the most important basics. Except I can't stand right here anymore because the fan's blowing right up my legs.
That's cold.
Woo! I'm not going to be able to keep concentration if I did that. So we're not going to talk about kinesiology as an evaluation tool. We're not going to talk about supplementation as support to your lifestyles and diet. We're going to really focus in on, again, the most important basics, which is dietary lifestyle habits. I'm going to try and give you a framework that we use, whether we're working with the public, like yourselves, okay, to help position you to thrive. It's the same framework that we use to help other practitioners become very empowered in their practices with their clients so that they can put their practice in order and position their clients to thrive. And it's the same framework that we use internally to train our own staff of the 8 or 9 other people that are here. Okay? So it is a very stable, proven platform to stand on. Okay? And it's one of the things that we've realized about people, that just human nature, is to feel certain about things. I mean, just the most recent example, we all went through it here a few years back. We had a pandemic, and people were better off, they felt better off knowing that there was some certainty, even though that certainty had a big price that came with it, right? But because it had an element of certainty, wear the mask, get the vaccine, right, all this other stuff, right? That made them actually feel better on the inside. Whether that was based in truth or not, whether it was only based in fear, whatever. I mean, that's always debatable. But the point is, everybody wants to feel like there is a level of certainty in what they're doing. I can let this lady in the back door. Hello, Peggy. No, that's fine. That's fine. We've got your seat right there. That's the one we're saving for you. Welcome, yeah. So people are always looking for, it seems, all of us, to some degree, feel more comfortable with a level of certainty, right? Mm-hmm. Whether we perceive that news as good or bad is not the issue. Does it provide us with certainty? That's what we're looking for, okay? And so tonight's class, we're going to give you a platform and a framework to apply it. And the understanding of the importance of developing these skills, and these are skills, that you develop into habits over time that will serve you for the rest of your life. The goal is to never create cripples. The goal is to create and position well-informed people with good, solid information and critical thinking experiences with that information so that over the long haul, their health improves. At the end of the day, that's the goal. I don't know if this is big enough to help everybody, but it might help somebody. Sorry about your luck, Alex.
I got broad shoulders.
Okay. Give that about another 57 minutes, and it'll be right here, and the class will be over. So, the Nutrition 101 class. This is where we help you put your health in order. Order is the training framework that we use to try and provide that stability, that certainty in everything that we do. So I want to define it for you real briefly. This is not in your notes. And if you ask us about this in the future, I'm sort of, you know, Jake or Rachel or I or somebody can rattle this off for you. But this is really a set of principles that we try to adhere to that governs our relationship, right? So that Glenn and I's relationship's always really great, but Glenn's relationship with his protocol might be struggling a little bit. But that means that Glenn and I are always gonna, hey, on good terms, but we might have to make some modifications and some, you know, right? So that we're always good, but the relationship with the program is what needs to be put in order, okay? Objective, to provide proven dietary resources. Those resources, based on decades of validation and results, and we're going to share that with you tonight, where these come from, so you have a framework, again, for all the things that we do as a platform that we stand on. And here's the best news. None of it was developed by me. Yeah, she says, right? This is all proven, factual, traditionally available information. You just have to know where to look. The reason we monitor you the way we do is because we want you to be able to demonstrate the practical use and application of those in your own lifestyle so that we can then evaluate through monitoring your response to the protocol and then determine,
what's that healing cycles, 12 to 14, that's not supposed to be there.
My slide, see, I told you before I started, this IT stuff, disregard that line right there. It should go to E to R, refine your approach and the use of the resources. I don't think I have another one.
You sure?
If you slide your chair out right over here to that edge right there, you'll be out of that sunshine. You might have to bring it this way just to, are you good?
Yep.
Okay, there we go. Because that's just gonna bother me the more than it bothers you. Okay. The purpose, obviously, is to develop the most important lasting dietary and lifestyle habits. So here are the four pillars that we focus on, okay, that framework. And you think about the four pillars, very similar to the four legs on the chairs that you have here tonight. If one's a little out of balance, things don't feel stable and certain, right? Take one away, and you really have a problem. And if you only have two, well, then you're constantly in a state of disruption and instability, and we want stability and certainty. So it's diet. Most people, it takes 3 to 6 months to develop optimal health habits when it comes to their diet. You don't get it done in 2 or 3 weeks with the food logs. What are you smiling about, Darren?
I'm with you, Derek.
Yeah. Well, but at least you're turning yours in. Yeah, I'm going to rat you out. You better believe it. That's the type of class it is tonight. I'm going to rat you out.
He's in the glove box.
Yeah, don't do me no good. One of my superpowers is not x-ray vision. Rest. Not just sleep, but emotionally disconnecting. The ability to walk away from your place of business and leave it there. That's a skill that can be developed. You have to practice. You have to work at that, right? So it's not just the sleeping, it's the disconnect from certain, I call them vampires in our lives, things that just can drain us, right? Number two or three is stress reduction. Practice the reduction, whether it be journaling, prayer, meditation, taking a walk. I talked to Alex today about, you know, building in that 10-minute break, right, to where you can just take a walk. That's part of that type of a lifestyle habit that you can develop, and it pays big dividends when you start practicing it. And lastly is movement. A good friend of mine is in his 50s. Okay, and he's a big guy, okay, works out at Gold's. And I asked him, but he only works out about half an hour, 45 minutes, but he's very consistent, that's the key. And he said, look, and I think he's 50, I'm 58, so he's going to be 55 this year, 54. And one of the things that he says, I asked him, I said, well, you've read all the books on it, right? And I always like to find people that have already paid the price, I just get the pearls, right? Because none of us are going to live long enough to gather everything, right, that we need to know. And I said, what are the most important aspects of what you do with your work? And he says, very simple. As we mature, his way of saying getting old, but as we mature in life, there's three things that we would like to maintain as best as possible. Strength, that's where the weights come in, to some degree, okay? Stamina, that's where the bicycle, or the hiking, the brisk walking, comes in. And flexibility, that's where stretching comes in. And he does 15, 15, and 15. He's moving literally tens of thousands of pounds in weight every week, but he only works out 45 minutes a day. And he does the weight size only 15 minutes. But he's building flexibility, stamina, and strength, and those are the four legs to that pillar, or that table. This is what you look like when you don't do that. Yeah, that's me some years back. When I didn't have the right habits in place. Can you believe that, Glenn?
I can't believe it.
That's me. That's me. Yeah, 36 pounds later. Yeah. So here's the resources in your handouts to choose from. This is where we dive into the handouts. And also part of tonight is me telling on me. You're looking at a X 8 to 12 can a day of Mountain Dew drinker. You're looking at somebody who's floorboarded his pickup truck. Your eyes got big on that one. You're looking at somebody whose floorboard of his pickup truck was riddled with Reese's peanut butter cup and Butterfinger wrappers. You're grinning like you know what I'm talking about. You have a nodding acquaintance with Reese's and Butterfinger. Yeah. Okay. And I know what it's like to be horrendously addicted to sugar. I know what it's like to also have blind spots and weaknesses about my lifestyle habits. Blind spots meaning I just didn't know. I just honestly didn't know. And weaknesses meaning I'm just not quite ready to address that yet. Right? And that's what tonight's about, is identifying the blind spots, strengthening the weaknesses over an extended period of time with consistency, not perfection. Okay? Quickly through your handouts. I'm not going to go into detail on these. I'm not going to explain them. I just want to make sure you got them. Okay? Because this is your homework. Somebody said about a test afterwards? You did, yeah. There's not really a test per se, but I cannot encourage you strongly enough to take these resources and review them and highlight them and ponder and question. There's over 2 years worth of research in these one handout tonight. There's over 2 years worth of research, okay, that you can benefit from as you go through it. See what resonates with you, what makes sense to you. When you have that aha moment, pay attention, because it probably applies to you. Okay? You should have a daily diet, 4-page detailed description on page 1. So there's a daily food log, which is one, or daily nutritional diet, which is one page, and right behind it is the stapled 4 pages. Those are the most important. They should be in your notes. We're going to finish with those, but I want to make sure you have them. Those are the most important because those are the most important basics. I'm going to share with you in detail where those resources come from. Next, you should have a handout called Healthy Foods A to Z. That's the one, Alex, right there. Healthy Foods A to Z. Food is the original medicine. Let me say that again. Food is the original medicine. He even talks about it in the Bible. Let the herbs of the field be your medicine and your food, right? That's paraphrased. Next, you should have a banana fact sheet. Some interesting data regarding the banana fact sheet. Again, it's for your reading enjoyment. I will tell you this much, under two situations, if the person is trying to lose weight and they're consistently consuming bananas, it's gonna really slow down metabolic function in order to burn excess stored energy, and it's gonna be hard to lose weight eating bananas, just so you know that. And number two, if phase one is part of your program, at least initially, but don't raise your eyebrows, phase one is not friendly with bananas. I can see you. Darren, you're going to get in trouble before the night's over. The next handout should be a handout, 146 Reasons Why Sugar's Ruining Your Health. That's Nancy Appleton's work. She is out of Sarasota, Florida. She wrote a book on sugar habits and sugar blues and all this other stuff. You can actually go online to her website, take a little quiz. For those of you who do not think you have a sugar addiction or a sugar consumption problem, and take her little quiz and just find out for yourself. Keep your ear, you're shaking your head. And here's the thing.
Just shoot me now.
No. Dorothy, you're going to be around a long time.
I don't think we have a sugar consumption problem.
No, we don't. Not especially in this country.
We got it under control.
We got it under control between the two of you. You're getting all you need. Yeah. So there's a couple of things on this handout that I'd like to point out. Number one is most people are not in tune with the fact that I'm not talking about sugar that's on the table that you put, somebody might throw on in iced tea or Surrey. Okay, I'm talking about all refined or processed foods have a rapid conversion to the chemical sugar. All refined or processed foods have a conversion, a rapid conversion, to the chemical sugar. Lesser or greater degree, but it's there. And it is literally one of the most important things that you can avoid. Now, it says 146 reasons why sugar is ruining your health. I can't imagine anybody needing more than 3 to 5 really good, solid reasons, proven, why they need to avoid sugar if they're serious about getting their health back. But I've just given you 146. Well-researched, well-documented, Nancy Appleton's work out of Sarasota, Florida is brilliant. That one thing alone you could study on a year and order a book and, I mean, just really get educated and cut about cutting that stuff out.
Nobody will like you, though.
I don't know. I think you guys kind of like me. You're here. You showed up. That's meaningful. That's a 7% like factor. You showed up. Sugar-controlled diet, I include that just for those folks that say, I'm not addicted to sugar. I don't ever eat sugar. I don't consume it at all. Okay, do that diet for 2 weeks and see if you feel lousy. If you do, you're detoxing from sugar. And you will feel a little worse before you feel better, because it is a toxic substance. All sugar has to come from basically three primary sources in today's modern food processing. It has to come from cane, beets, or corn. But it has to be ultra refined to get there. If you have a bowl of beets or a bowl of sugar cane and a bowl of sugar, they don't resemble each other at all. So that gives you kind of a visual of the refinement that has to take place in order to extract a chemical property that in high amounts is toxic to the human body. I don't know if what I'm about to say is in these notes, but I know that in 1895, the average sugar consumption in America was a half a pound a year. Today, it's a half a pound a day. A half a pound a day. Look at what's in, what is that right there? That's in a one can of soda. An ounce and an eighth. And that's just one can of soda that's processed. In a can of beer, there's 6 tablespoons of sugar for every can of beer. Why? Because it takes that much fermentation to yield the can of beer. Okay? It's unfortunately everything except fruits, vegetables, seeds, nuts, healthy, you know, unprocessed grain substances if you can find them. Different names for sugar is the next handout. That is a page, front and back, 3 columns. Most people don't know, and that's why they tell me, I'm not eating sugar. I'm not eating sugar. Well, food manufacturers have come up with this new and creative way, have for the last 50 years, to come up with names that mean sugar. Three columns, 2 front and back side. That's sugar. Now, some of those you see on there, you say, well, I always thought that was good. One of the worst ones you can consume is high fructose corn syrup, obviously. But don't let agave fake you out either. Agave in consistent consumption is one of the leading causes of fatty livers for those who choose to eat agave or agave products. So it's not any safer. Nightshades. This is one of my favorite handouts. Nightshade foods is for people who might be struggling with chronic pain. Chronic pain. I always tell people, look, if you got some chronic pain issues, maybe we haven't gotten around to addressing it yet, but do yourself a favor. Just do the experiment. Knock those off like a savage for 6 weeks. Just 6 weeks. Knock it off. You can do it, okay? And see if you don't feel better in the joints, getting up in the morning, less snoring at night, better sleep patterns, right? All this stuff can be a byproduct. Do the experiment for yourself if you have a chronic pain concern. Got milk? I told Eric Daniels that he should have renamed that to Got Pus, Because processed, pasteurized, or homogenized cow's milk is nothing more than pus in a jug. It's pus. I'm glad you shook like that. That's good. Just want to get the point across. Don't drink pus in a jug. We are the only mammals on the planet that insist on chasing our children around every morning saying, here, drink your milk. And they've already been weaned. They've already been weaned.
Did you go over the death vegan?
Not yet.
It was.
Oh, I missed it. No, thank you. I didn't. I missed it. I'll come back to it.
Oh,
yeah, that's right. I'm just doing the milk thing. Thank you for catching me on that. So if you have a cow or a goat and you're milking it, that's probably still a whole food. Most people can handle that. But when you read that Got Milk flyer from Eric Daniels, and I'll bounce back to Death Begins with a Colon. Thank you. You're going to find that about 7 out of 10 people that consume on a regular basis do in fact have strong physical allergic type reactions, and they've been told they are not even allergic to milk. Here's the problem with modern allergy tests. When they do all the pinpricks on their back and things of that nature, what they're doing that for, and they're introducing a protein, is to see if your body produces an antibody. And they look at you and say, well, your body didn't produce an antibody to the milk, so therefore you're fine, John. You're okay. The truth of the matter is, you can have non-antibody production sensitivity, still have all the physical symptoms like you're allergic to it, and no antibody production. That's why kinesiology is so important for testing and evaluating these different foods, is because you can pick it up at a sensitivity level before there's actually a true allergy antibody production. Okay. Now, Death Begins in the Colon. That one was so important. We got permission to reprint it. We put it in our book. My dad printed it in his book in 2003. I reprinted it when I revised his book and kind of refined it in 2017. And we kept that in both editions because it is critically important to understand most people. In fact, I've had people do this. You might consider this experiment. When they leave here, they go home and they read that one first. And they just circle everything on there that they identify with. Now, we try to test and evaluate, especially when it comes to cleanses and bowel cleanses, when it's time to do certain cleanses, in order of the nervous system response with a muscle test, okay? But sometimes, I had one gal, she came in, she goes, I've got to do this now. I mean, I'm feeling better, I'm doing better, but she's only 2-3 weeks in, but she goes, there's so much of that that I'm dealing with right now when it comes to immune system and hormones and digestion. Chronic recurring infections, structural problems, right? All of these different things that modern medicine has convinced us are not connected. If you have a headache, you have a Tylenol deficiency. But if you have an allergy, you have a Claritin deficiency, right? And on and on and on. And they think each symptom is a standalone expression of illness. When we know traditional care, 6,000 years of recorded history is, that symptoms are an expression of lack of performance. Write this in your notes. Drugs, mask, symptoms. Food restores function. And the two never meet. The two, it's just, they're going in two opposite directions at the same time. Drugs are great at masking symptoms. Food restores function. When I say food, I really mean its most basic important structure to it, which is nutrition. Is it nutrient-dense food, right? So, Death Begins in the Colon, a real important read. There is a reading list there for future education if you're interested. There is a company, you'll have to write this down. Actually, it should be on the reading list at the bottom. It says Saline River Press or ifnh.org. I would encourage you to visit these websites and get real familiar with them as a personal resource. Usually at the bottom of the page. Right here, this one. So you can find these at either ifnh.org or Saline River Press. We're very fortunate in the part of the world that we live in. Saline River Press is in Colorado, one of the largest publication companies of its kind for very entry-level, basic nutritional knowledge, all the way up to things that we use clinically for evaluating blood panels and endocrine balancing and cardiovascular health restoration and all the things that we know nutrition can do. It's already been proven. They stopped doing science, real science, on food in the 40s. Did you know that? Now, all the when you read an article about vitamins or minerals doing something in the human body, or unfortunately not doing something, they're studying isolated versions of. There's over 200 components to vitamin C. Did you know that? 200 components to vitamin C. What's the one everybody knows? Ascorbic acid. We're convinced that ascorbic acid is vitamin C, and it's not. It's a very small piece, cheap to reproduce and put in things as a protective filler, but it's not complex vitamin C. Vitamin E is the same way. Anytime you're dealing with isolates, you flip the light label around. Now, sometimes those isolates are used as preserving agents, but not meant to be nutritional in nature. That's fine. Vitamin C is a much safer preserving agent than some of the other chemical preserving agents they could use, right? But it's not meant to be any real significant source of nutrition when you find it that way. And it should say that somewhere on the label. You should be educated on that. Reprogramming what the healing crisis is. That was the last page. And then we'll dive into the meat of our discussion tonight. Anytime you start a nutritional therapy program and you begin to adjust the fuel that you're giving the body and the supplementation of nutrition, you're going to go through what's called reprogramming. Okay, the old naturopaths used to call it a healing crisis, right? A detox reaction. Okay, these are some of the words, terms used to describe what people can experience when they put the brakes on and they start going in a different direction, changing the fuel, changing the supplementation. Sometimes they'll get a little worse before they get better, and it cycles up and down. It can kind of roller coaster a little bit. But the trend is, instead of roller coastering down, they start reversing and roller coastering back up. So in the 3 to 6 month window, excellent overall stable, certain improvement. But maybe week one, you got a little worse. Or maybe week two, not much changes yet. Week three, okay, I'm seeing some things here, sleep and digestion and bowel movements, and the basics are showing some signs of stability, less stress. That's how the body restores health, because that's how you lost it. The human body can only reverse flow back towards its peak performance in the opposite the way it lost it. Sometimes, and this is really cool, and this is all from Dr. Bernard Jensen's work. I'm going to show you his book and when we get to it in a second, because it's required studies for clinical nutrition and nutritional therapy. He wrote over 60 books in his lifetime, okay, traveled the world, had over 400,000 patients worldwide, okay, pretty good-sized proving ground for the things that we're talking about. He was the developer of iridology. Anybody here familiar or heard of iridology, where they take a picture of the iris, blow it up this big, and then have a map of all the neurological pathways? Same pathways that they can map in the ears, the hands, and the feet, called reflexology. The teeth charts that are in our exam rooms, each tooth represents specific physical, organ stress, and or emotional components, can be found back to each tooth that might be giving a problem to people. Most of you, I've asked about, even if I do the exam, I ask, any teeth problems, any issue, right? Had a guy today, the tooth 16, which was top right, the 16th, right in the back, right, the wisdom tooth area, was having problems. And we were able to go, were you having this? Is this big one? Yeah. Physical and emotional symptoms based on that, because of the nerve pathway each tooth shares with the rest of the body. It's pretty fascinating. I mean, these things are amazing, wonderfully made, right? As far as, you know, how we've been created. So everything is connected, nothing is a standalone symptom, and it's always trying to tell a story. The challenge that we face working together is that we don't want to chase what the storyteller is and find out why is the storyteller telling that story. We need to find the cause, right? So we keep digging a little deeper, a little deeper, a little deeper. But reprogramming and a healing crisis, very common. Let's talk about what your body does to perform. This is very simple. It's not in your handouts. I just want to briefly give you some principles to think about. Only food nourishes the body. That food allows the body to do two primary functions. It's able to cleanse itself and to nourish itself. If it has to discard as a non-useful byproduct, it will. Or it will store in the future, it'll store it in the body for future use or elimination. That's how it's designed. Did you know that fat is an organ? Fat's considered an organ. It's actually an organ. It has to have blood flow, circulation, to some degree, okay? It stores toxins from the rest of the body when the lymphatics or the bowel or the kidneys or respiration is overwhelmed. So the sign of real toxins accumulating in the body. It's stored energy, right? It's one of the things it does. When you start accessing that, you can go through a reaction. Just like if you cleanse the bowel or cleanse the liver or cleanse the pancreas, you can feel a little bit worse for a couple of days because you're detoxifying those organs. When you lose a lot of weight or open up those reserves from a metabolic standpoint, you can kind of feel ugh, right? Even though you like what the scale is doing, you kind of feel ugh, okay? It's because it's a storage organ. So, can't say it enough. Food's purpose is to restore, rebuild, and repair. There never has been, nor will there ever be, a drug which will do for the human body what food does. Period. Never has been, not currently, nor will there ever be, a drug that does for the human body what food does. Because, the last line is, the reason for that to be true is that it's the only one that creates the general and replacement parts that the body needs. How many of you ever heard of this guy, Mark Hyman? Kind of a cool guy. I like sharing this with people because I'll have people come to me all the time and say, well, you know, don't like taking supplements. I don't either, okay? But here's the problem. We don't live in an agrarian society anymore like we did 80 to 100 years ago, 110 years ago. So this is one of his comments. It says, many physicians say that if you eat a balanced diet, you don't need supplements. People in his profession, he's an MD. Okay, here's his response to that. If people eat wild, fresh, organic, local, non-genetically modified food grown in virgin mineral and nutrient-rich soils that has not been transported across vast distances and stored for months before being eaten, and work and live outside, breathe only fresh, unpolluted air, drink only pure, clean water, sleep 9 hours a night, move their bodies every day, and are free from chronic stressors and exposure to environmental toxins, then it is possible that they might not need supplements. I wish he'd have wrote it this way. If I could have wrote this, right? I wish he'd have wrote it this way. Need nutrition. Not all supplements are nutritious. Okay? Not all are nutritious. We all need nutrition. So it's diet first, and then supplemented nutrition second. So what most people typically experience coming here is that they start here and they want to get here. And their supplement schedule is high, and the results are low. Then over time, the results get better and better, and the supplement needs reverse. The program should get smaller, not bigger, over time. Sometimes it blows up and it comes back down, but it should consistently become smaller. Excuse me. Because it's taken that amount of time to get their dietary and lifestyle to a point, the four legs stable. Okay? This is one of Dr. Jensen's books. I've got my copy right here. Maybe I should have left that out the other way. We'll leave those right there. This is my copy of his work. Again, he's got 60 different books on the restoration of all kinds of different illnesses with nutrition. ADD, ADHD, rheumatoid arthritis, Lyme's disease. You name the illness, cancer, okay? All of that was done by the 40s, okay? No real science has been produced on nutrition anymore because it was all done. If you go to the ifnh.org, that's the largest, oldest online archivist for proven scientific data from clinical nutritionists around the world of any site on the planet. You're gonna find some amazing reads there. You might just skim them, or there might be some that catch your eye and you really wanna dive deep. Either way, you should visit those sites because they're amazing. Like I said earlier, 400,000 patients worldwide. How to correct things with food. This is kind of an interesting comment. 1 month to erase stress effects of a year. So once you get things dialed in, and you're on the right track, and you're doing things consistently, not perfectly, but consistently, his observation with these people is that for every month that this person is back on track and doing the right things, avoiding the foods that are killing them, and getting the right nutrition in that saves their life, for about every month that they can put together on that, they're wiping out about a year's worth of stress. That's what he basically calculated. And one of the things he did was he brought people to his farm in California and taught them how to eat for their illnesses. This is one of the books that came from that. That's Dr. Jensen right there. You should look him up. Fascinating. Fascinating guy. And this is one of his books, Chemistry of Man. Now, if you look at your very front page that I addressed you to, the 6211. Yep, that's it right there. Daily Nutritional Diet, 6211. That one page is my book report on this book. So you can read this, about $80, online used. And I'm telling you right now, it's a novel. It's a novel book, but it ain't no novel, okay? It will put you to sleep. Part of the reason mine looks so tattered and torn is because I wake up and I had ripped a page out with my head laying there sleeping. No. You can get this, or you can apply that, because that's the book report version. There's the abstract, okay? And I'm not saying don't get some of his books. I'm saying do. Just be ready for an interesting read. This is where, this is where these top remarks come into play. And for those of you who are not on phase one food, but you're doing a basic model of eating, this is the habit from the dietary standpoint, which will improve stress and rest also, okay? Three of the four pillars. Six vegetables daily in the form of a salad or smoothie, preferably organic when possible. Doesn't have to be, but preferably. Two fruits, consider eating a meal by itself or in between meal snack. One of the biggest challenges people have is they mix fruit with other foods and it causes stomach problems. Lousy food combining. Fruit is meant to go in and through into the intestinal tract in about 15 minutes. But if you eat it with certain vegetables and meat, those things have a transit time of anywhere from 25 or 30 minutes to an hour, 45 minutes to an hour with certain meats and fats. They got to be emulsified longer in the gut. You keep the sugars from those fruits in there long enough and it can create some real imbalances. We see things like H. pylori, bacterial problems, recurrent yeast problems, inflammation in the gut, mystery pains, things like that. So just think, the way we were taught to drive a car is 10 o'clock and 2 o'clock. Fruit, by itself. Little fruit, okay? Preferably berries or melons, the top fruits to avoid because of their high sugar content, low fiber, and low mineral vitamin content. Is apples, oranges, bananas, pears, and grapes. Apples, oranges, bananas, pears, and grapes are very high in sugar concentrated sugars, and they've lowered over time due to farming practices in their fiber, vitamin, and mineral content, enzyme quality, especially when they're shipped in. Did you know the average fruit and vegetable travels 2,500 miles to get to Cheyenne, Wyoming? That's the average, 2,500 miles. Guess what? If that fruit is picked ripe, will it survive the travels and then get into the store and be able to sit there for a week or two before the next shipment rolls through? No, it will not. It has to be picked in a denatured state, okay, premature state, which means it's lacking the vitamins, minerals, enzymes, and vital nutrients that would have been produced had it been ripened. Okay? A lot of people are concerned about organic cost. I understand that. We all are, especially with food prices these days and all the other prices. If you pay attention and go to like the major, you know, Albertsons, King Supers, whatever, still check on the organic prices and compare, because you sometimes find organics coming out to the end where you could get them eaten in the next week or so or less, and they'll reduce the price to get them moved. So sometimes, not always, but sometimes you can find the organic pricing to be very equal and competitive with the commercial non-organic pricing. You just got to kind of look around and get a feel for it. Ask your the people that work in the produce department. Talk to the produce managers. Get the information. They'll tell you because they know. Hey, we got some stuff about to go on south. So this represents 80%. 6-2 is 8. There's where you get 80% of the ratio. Here's the other 20%. One starch, try not to eat starch and meat protein together with the same meal, but it does create digestive stress. Here's why. When you bite a starch, your body produces enzymes. Liver or pancreas contribute. There's enzymes also production in the mouth that contribute to tagging that starch as a sugar, carbohydrate, and it starts the emulsifying or breaking down process. But then you take a bite of meat with that starch, and the body says, okay, time out, hold on. Hydrochloric acid pumps, get to work. We got to get hydrochloric acid in here, right, to emulsify and break down this protein. So what happens when you mix acids and alkalines? They cancel each other out. We start producing a disrupted digestive process where it off gases, and people are saying, oh, I got heartburn. I was diagnosed with acid reflux. GERD. I love it when GERD came out. Right? And the truth of the matter, they got lousy food combining habits that over a extended period of time, usually decades, but they're paying the price for it now. And we don't connect the dot that, oh, I've been practicing these poor habits all these years, and now all of a sudden I have acid reflux? Now all of a sudden I have heartburn or GERD? No. You worked hard to get it, and you didn't know it. Blind spot. Right? Blind spots and weaknesses. This is what we grade food logs by the way. We're looking for this on a daily basis. There's your 80-20, kind of the 80-20 rule. When it comes to meat protein, now that's not the only protein, by the way. I want to clarify because the slide doesn't. Not the only protein for the day, because eggs, seeds, and nuts, great fillers in for additional protein, okay? But when it comes to meat protein, size of the palm of the hand, notice I stretch my hand when I say this. Size of the palm of the hand, thickness of a deck of playing cards. Fish, turkey, venison, okay, hamburger patty. And don't be afraid of fat. Fat is good for you. Don't get this 95% fat free or 98%, no, 80-20, baby. Minimum. You want 20%, they taste better.
Yeah.
They cook better, and it's much better for you. These bodies run really good on fat. All right, now the dirty half dozen. The dirty half dozen. Doesn't do us any good to tell you what to do if I don't share with you the most important things not to do. Not to do. And I'm not saying stop all six now. I'm saying pick the one that's the biggest violation for you and go to work on it, like I had to do, okay? White sugar and white sugar products, that's got to go. Sugar feeds cancer. One out of every two people in this country will be diagnosed with some form of cancer in their lifetime, okay? Sugar feeds, you know what a PET scan is? Where they ingest a fluid in the body? You know what that fluid solution is comprised of? Sugar. Why? Because when it comes in contact with a malignant cell, when the cells are benign, no reaction. Isn't that interesting? And yet they don't look at the patient and say, by the way, if you insist on going to a very high quality, alkaline rich, nutritionally dense diet, you have the best chance of positioning your body to not succumb to cancer. Isn't that interesting? They don't tell them that. You want to see something tragic? Go down to the local cancer center, they won't let you, but if you could, and look at the snacks they serve them people while they're getting a chemo treatment. It's not fruits and vegetables. It's donuts and cookies and candy bars.
Sprite.
And Sprite. White flour and white flour products. Avoid these things like the plague. Part of flour, when it was first utilized as a substance, the first substance was a wallpaper paste. Did you know that? Yeah.
We used to make things out of
paper mache. Blow up the balloon in the newspaper with a wet flour and wrap it around. Pop the balloon. Whoa! And you got a nice hard. Guess what that does inside the human body? Leaves the same similar deposits. But because you have 26 foot of piping, 20 foot of the small intestine, that surface area is the size of a tennis court, you can abuse yourself for some decades before it catches up with you. Well, I suspect all of us here tonight, me included, it's caught up with us in some ways or another. The standard American diet, which is abbreviated to SAD, stop eating crap. Carbohydrates, refined, artificial, and processed. Knock it off. That's where you start. You have to develop your disciplines there to start. Then you can supplement with nutrition and restore function.
So I don't have to quit eating bacon yet?
No, not yet.
Good.
Not yet. No. I would rather see you. This one is death in a cup. Don't eat that stuff ever. Minimize that. Knock those two off. That's a great start. Or just pick one, like I said earlier, and go savage.
So are there certain types? I mean, I know that we found at least one that was not dairy. We don't have dairy. But it's like Earth Balance, and it's kind of like a margarine, but it's not. And I looked at all the ingredients, and they were common. Is there something?
Has it got a processed oil in it? What are they? You got your smartphone? Maybe bring up a label. Let's look at it real quick. As I'm going through this, if you can bring up the ingredients list for Smart Balance.
Earth
Balance.
Yeah.
Yeah, you put flour in a bowl, put water in there, nice and sticky. Does the same thing to us. Dairy products from the grocery store, go back to pus, got milk flyer. That'll get you that one. Pork is real. Dairy. Pork is real supportive of parasite activity. I did this class here about 3-4 years ago. There's a lady sitting in the back right over there. She worked for the Hormel plant. And she said that on the days at the plant where we have the most call-ins for sick is when it's pork day. Because people get so grossed out about looking at the gut piles in the slaughterhouses of the pigs and the parasite activity that's visually present. That's the biggest day they have people calling out. They just can't do it. The salamis and all, yeah, whatever. So pork is very supportive of parasites. Yes, I love bacon too. So I do a parasite cleanse minimum twice a year. Hey, it's about prevention, right? Hey, I'm not perfect. But if you look at my food logs, which by the way, I do keep food logs on my phone, and anybody at any time, if you want to see food logs for me and what I'm eating on a regular basis, don't hesitate to ask. Because I keep them on my phone, and I'm willing to show them to people.
I'm like Darren.
Oh, they're in the glove box.
Yeah. Somebody to follow me.
Obviously, food's fried in oil, obviously, because it's the frying that gets us. The high heat conversion turns that into a fat your body can't process, loves to park it in the arteries and capillaries, creating huge inflammation problems. Extension of those capillaries where they get too tight, they're not as pliable as they should be, arteriosclerosis, and on and on and on. And margarine. How many of you know where the margarine industry even came from?
Plastic.
It's one molecule away from being considered plastic, yes. But the industry that produced margarine, it came from the feedlot industry of turkeys and cows. Because they could more cheaply put weight on these animals by feeding them a processed oil than nutrient-rich grains and grasses. So they could do it cheaper. You see, profit margins are based on two things, regardless if you have products or services or commodities, it doesn't matter. Either the cost of production has to go down or the price the market will pay has to go up. That's the only way you increase profit margin in any business at any time, anywhere. Unless you have an insurance company and it just nail everybody without explanation. And medical. So they had to figure out, and because beef and turkey is a commodity, the market price is set. They can't exceed that. The market price is what it is. So they had to figure out a way to cut the cost of production. And so they thought, wow, we can start feeding these animals oils. They're just getting fat and sassy. And it's cutting their cost, and we're making more money. And that worked beautifully for about 16 weeks. And then these animals start going, ka-thud, dying in the feedlot. And they thought, oh no, this is terrible. We've got millions of dollars invested in this process. It's making us big money, but these animals are dying. I know what we'll do. Let's repackage it and sell it to people because they're gullible enough to eat this stuff. So a vegetable oil, like canola oil is a problem. That's an industrial lubricant. That's what just at a glance.
Yeah.
Okay. Natural flavor, if you read your list of other names for sugar. Is another name for sugar. Pea protein usually isn't a problem in soybean less than. Most of this. I know an extract for coloring. 80% of this is really good.
So, is there like a type of butter or margarine that wouldn't be dairy? Like, if you have a problem with dairy that you could have? Because I haven't found them.
Have you used Kerrygold? I want you to try a small amount. I mean, itty bitty. It's in a gold bar. It's a green label. It says Kerrygold. K-E-R-I-G-O-L-D. It's Irish whipped butter. I'm telling you, it tastes so good. You can peel that thing like a banana and eat it just like that. It's so good.
It is.
It's amazing. That's what I use in my bulletproof coffee every morning. A squirt of MCT oil, and I don't drink coffee, it's hot water, but a squirt of MCT oil and a tablespoon of Kerrygold. Let it just sit there and dissolve, slam that down, 20 ounces of water, go to the gym. It's amazing. My day started at 3 a.m. today. My day started at 3 a.m. Isn't that weird? Now, I didn't do that every day. But I had some, my granddaughter spent, I had extra things I wanted to do in the morning, so, you know, you get up earlier and you go do your thing, right? And it just, the energy is absolutely incredible. It's amazing when you start getting the body, the liver, to burn fat as fuel instead of carbohydrates as fuel. Because the byproduct of fat as fuel is health. The byproduct of carbohydrates as fuel is aches, pains, allergies, systemic inflammation, inflammatory problems with the lungs. It feeds cancer because it converts rapidly, and on and on and on and on and on. Margarine. So here's what they did. Let's repackage it and sell it to people because they're gullible enough to eat it. And here's our tagline, which is not really not untrue. It's called lying by omission. They didn't tell the whole truth. Eat our margarine. It's lower in cholesterol than butter. But, oh, by the way, you can't process it and could kill you. That was the part they left out. Okay? And so, remember the very first one that hit the market? You guys remember?
The one you had to mix the two together?
Yeah, remember the name? Oleo. Oleo. And they had this white lump of lard in their projects when they were doing their screening with people, and they would take it to people to survey it. They didn't want to even touch it because it would look like this white lump of lard. So they did the dye pack, squish it together, spits out this yellow goop, which looks kind of like butter, and people gobbled this stuff up. And guess what? Heart attack, stroke, and cardiovascular incidences skyrocketed the very next year. Skyrocketed that. Oleo. And that stuff that says, can't believe it's not butter? Believe it, it's not butter. Believe it, it's not butter. Here's what happens to the standard American diet. I'll let you have this one and you can pass it around. We'll start with Alex, you can pass it around there and we'll make it around. What you're looking at is extracted, false encasements. This one came out of a 13-year-old girl, not from cadavers. This is part of Jensen's work with a Kalima board. So everybody's heard of an enema, and everybody's heard of a colonic. And in between the two is a Kalima board. You can look it up. C-L-E-M-A, I believe, Kalima board. Where they ingest these liquefied substances of apple-pectin, pharmaceutical-grade charcoal, and bentonite clay with whole flax seeds because of a natural scrubbing agent it provides. And they were slurping this stuff down about a pint 4 or 5 times a day. Liquefied, very liquid, very hydrated. And when they started expelling these things, it would catch it in the screen, and that's what they caught in these screens. This one right here, that's a polyp. That drawing agent is so powerful it actually pulls polyps out of the digestive tract. Diverticuli, the things that cause diverticulitis, Crohn's, and IBS. You're looking at cancer, you're looking at hormone disruptions, you look at metabolic dysfunction, you're looking at migraines, you're looking at every possible thing. When you go back and read Death Begins in the Colon, this is why. This is the standard American diet of white flour products, and things that you accumulate over time. Now, a colonoscopy doesn't see this because when they look at it with the camera, what they're looking at is a clear substance, a film that's built up. So when they look at those cameras, they look real shiny, okay? And you can see the vein structure in the colon wall. But what you're looking through is that mucus. And so this drags that out of there. And it absolutely, I've never seen more miracles take place than when people actually properly cleanse the bowel. I had one lady, she tested for 7 of them. She had cancer 4 separate occasions. By the time she got through her 4th bottle, she passed something that was about 4 inches long and it looked like a braided rope. Scared her. So she gathered it up, put it in a jar with water, let it sit on the counter, just like watching it. And it didn't move, thank God. But it didn't dissolve either, it didn't get limp. It was like stiff, braided rope. And so she left it on the counter for a few days. She calls over, she goes, I think I got a problem. I said, what's up? She goes, well, I passed something. I don't know if I should have passed it. We'll bring it to the clinic and say, look at it. I'm grossed out already. We took it out of the jar, I put gloves on, I had a serrated knife, this is when we were in 1807, and this thing was so hard, it was so compacted in her bowel, that you could hardly cut this thing with a serrated knife. And it looked like a serrated, or a rope, a braided rope, about that long, in her gut. And she passed, and she felt it, that's why she looked. Pretty crazy. Most people when they do a bowel cleanse don't have that experience. Yeah. But I'll tell you what they do have. I've had people see really odd colors and shapes, kind of like some of this stuff here. And the volume is, you make an elephant blush. It's pretty impressive. Not urgent, but very impressive. So let's remember the basics as we wrap this up. Consistency trumps perfection. Nobody does this perfectly. Don't beat yourself up.
I can't do this. Okay, so I won't do it at all.
No. Always figure out a way to start your day with little wins. Like, stop hitting snooze on the alarm button. Like, learn how to keep small promises to yourself. I'm going to get up at 5. Okay. No snooze alarm. Look up. Right?
Oh, you said small.
Yeah. Smart aleck. That sounded like something Darren would say. Drink 20 ounces of water. Wait 90 minutes before the first cup of coffee. Do some MCT and butter in hot water as a bulletproof coffee to start getting the liver primed to burn fat. And by the way, if you use MCT oil, which is really good for you, but you'll know you got too much because you can't get off the pot. It will purge. But it's about a tablespoon or a half a tablespoon to start with. See how you might get a little rumbly, but it purges the liver a little bit. So if it does, just back off. It's extremely healthy for you. Identify those few key things from tonight's resources that will benefit you and go to work on them. Again, be as compliant as you can because every day is a new day to make progress. Only by cleansing and nourishing the body can you restore and rebuild and repair function, which ultimately leads to better habits. And habits equal everything. Everything you do and everything you say and everything, all of it's habits. How you dress, how you walk, how you talk, how you drive. How you talk to other people, how you talk to yourself. That could be a bad habit in some cases. Kind of telling yourself lies and fibs and negative stuff instead of saying, okay, next time I'm going to do better. Here's how. I'm going to go to work, right? Even the self-talk is really part of that stress reduction piece on the 4 legs. We have to take responsibility for that. Review the handouts and bring questions. I expect to hear lots of questions, or I hope to hear lots of questions in the future on this. And last but not least, be sure to take advantage of the educational resources that we provide. As a reminder, the first and third Tuesday of every month is a clinic orientation class. 6:15, we open the doors. 6:30 is when we give the class. It's about a 30-minute class. Every fourth Tuesday is Nutrition 101, and that is always open to the public. People do not have to be a client here. Have to be a client to come in and hear this information and have these resources. What they do with them is up to them, right? I'm just giving you the background of where we got them, and it certainly wasn't for me. It was from proven traditional application through clinical nutritionists for the last 120 years. If you like podcasts, you can find my Total Wellness Radio podcast on all major platforms. We just did episode 406. So that podcast is getting out there pretty good. It's in 14 different countries now. We're getting some pretty good traction. You know, a couple hundred downloads a week, something like that. And I do two podcasts a week, usually one to two. I mean, I've got two in the works right now. One on a guy I interviewed in California that's doing remote coaching with people. And the other one is on, I can't remember. This is going to be a podcast. I'm gonna turn this into a podcast as well. So audio only, nobody's face. Some of you don't want us to be seen on public, you know, yeah.
Some of us talk a little different than others, and they can be picked up.
Oh! Code? And as far as Share the Care programs, I go to churches, businesses, and other places, bring the table, do demonstrations, that kind of fun stuff. It's amazing to blow people's minds with that kind of thing. Share the Care programs are wonderful for offsetting service fees in our office. You know, you host one, two or three people come together, I freak them out, and they get to meet the witch doctor, and we have fun, and it's all good. All right. I always like to take at least two or three questions before we wrap up and call it a night.
I wanted to ask you about your clinical orientations.
Yes.
Each one's going to be different?
Nope.
They're all the same?
The first and third Tuesday is always the same.
Okay.
So regardless of how a person hears about our office, whether they were referred by a friend or found us on Facebook or whatever, okay, or just drove by the building, everybody, their initial entrance of education is always the orientation class.
The nutrition.
Yes, Mike. I'm sorry, then you.
Oh, right.
Go ahead, Mike.
Oh, where's the best place to get MCT oil?
Deal. That's a great question, because you can pay anywhere from $8 to $60, right? For a quart, you can. I buy the Nature's Way brand from Natural Grocers. It's about $16.95. It's about $16.95. It's got a really great flavor. It is really good quality, and just a tablespoon, so a jug lasts me a long time in my coffee or in my beverage.
Is the brand you buy now?
I don't like now products. I'm not a fan.
Okay. Because that's what I've got. It's the MCT.
Yeah. I like the Nature's Way. Yeah, medium chain triglycerides. Yeah, from the coconut oil. I don't understand how you could possibly mess that up, really. But I just have, and you can always test it. You can muscle test it, stuff like that. So, if you know how to muscle test, or no? Okay, you guys should learn. You can test foods and stuff in the grocery store and all kinds of stuff. It's kind of fun to play with. Just get your head out of the way, you know.
You have an acronym.
An acronym, yes.
It's so good.
SAD.
SAD. Something American Diet.
Standard American Diet. Thank you again for tuning in to another episode of Total Wellness Radio. We appreciate you taking time out of your schedule to tune in to all of our interviews and the life-changing natural approaches you can take with your health. For those of you who haven't had a chance yet, please do subscribe, and when you get a chance, also leave a review on this podcast or other episodes that you've enjoyed from Total Wellness Radio.